else can you talk about Regency era England, street urchins, a circus, elephants, giant fish poop that could possibly fuel a rocket, and a two-hearted space alien? Nowhere else but Doctor Who. Let's talk about Season 10, Episode 3, Thin Ice.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to let Tari take it.
Better hold me tightly, yeah. Like a harpoon daily and nightly.
This is a glorious moment, and I'm very happy about it. Guys, welcome back to the Doctor Who After Show at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Zach Wilson, and we're talking about episode Thin Ice from Season 10 of Doctor Who. I am joined by two of my fantastic panelists who are just jamming out to the Vanilla Ice. I don't know. Seems like a thin premise.
Oh.
It really wasn't that well.
Oh.
We've got Dave Child.
Hi, I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MR Dave Child on all the onlines or DaveChild.com. My name is Dave Child.
Hey, Dave Child.
Hi.
I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J. That's TauriJay.
Why?
Don't you introduce yourself.
Okay. Well, I already did. But why isn't Adrian Snow here? Adrian couldn't make it this week, unfortunately, guys. But you can find her on Twitter and Instagram at, or I don't know if it's her Instagram, actually, but her Twitter is Miss Adrian Snow. So find her there.
Yes.
But yeah. Thank you for joining us. Let's dig in to this week's episode of Doctor Who. First things, reactions. What did you guys think of Thin Ice?
I thought there was stuff that I liked, especially there's a lot of great Capaldi moments in this one that I think he just really shined in the character. And I think my favorite parts were all kind of Doctor Who centered and characters, especially with his relationship with Bill. So that's the stuff I really liked. It was kind of an okay Monster of the Week episode. I liked it. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I liked it. But I loved a lot of the little gems that kind of we got from Capaldi this week.
I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
Tari, what do you think?
I really liked it. Like, I like that we get the feeling of kind of starting over. We get to experience a lot of the things that you get between a new companion and Doctor Who. I also like that storytelling-wise, there were a lot of things that they, like, dropped that paid off by the end, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I enjoyed this episode in a way that, like, I'm not sure, obviously we'll try because we're talking about it for the next 45 minutes,
right.
But I'm not sure I could fully put into words. Like, I just generally enjoyed this episode. Like, I had fun watching it. It wasn't, an amazing episode that, like, I'm going to call back to and point to as, like, a great episode of Doctor Who.
Right.
But I think, Dave, to your point, like, there was a lot of great moments.
Yeah.
Like, this felt like Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whereas, like, a lot of stories from, like, the last couple seasons have felt at times not like Doctor Who, but just, like, a story where the Doctor showed up in it.
Right. Yeah.
This was Doctor Who through and through. We had a monster. We had a lesson that, like, to be learned. There was, like, cultural and social, like, themes throughout it.
Yeah.
And there was that overarching plot that was just threaded in enough that it didn't feel like they were ignoring the fact that something bigger is going on.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that there is actually even more deeper in this episode that I feel like by the end of the season, this episode will be much more significant than it feels right now. I think that's what I'm latching on to.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I think the fact that we set up in the earlier in the season the idea of negotiating with the TARDIS, which felt like just like a fun like way to interpret like why the Doctor doesn't always wind up where he wanted
right.
to go.
It also personifies that the TARDIS in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just thought that was a cool idea for how this all works. Because there's always like different every writer has sort of given the Doctor's relationship to the TARDIS and his adventures its own spin.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's a lot of justification that has to go
no
into
pun intended.
Why.
Mm.
It does spin.
It does. It does. There's a vortex. Causes a lot of inertial rotation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Moving on.
But this was the first time that I can remember where the Doctor actively was like, I don't want to be here. We're going to leave this place. Goes into the TARDIS, and the TARDIS flat out is just like, oh, we'll teleport, but you're not leaving.
Well, I got the sense that he actually teleported the second time just to get – because he even says, I've decided to move it to a less precarious position because it was on the ice last time. So he when he moved it, he does say he moved it so it isn't on the ice.
Okay.
Which is actually – that's something that sometimes in episodes the Doctor forgets to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's oftentimes where I'm like, why did you leave it there?
Oh, like when, the episode with the lizard people.
Yeah. The Slovene.
Yeah.
No, not the Slovene.
They start with an S.
Different lizard people. I kind of forget exactly what episodes, but I'm sure there's episodes that we can look at that are just like,
there's a history of just like leaving it someplace.
I'm not really thinking it through. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Silurians.
Silurians, yes.
Right.
Yeah, the Earth swallows the TARDIS.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think he's trying to escape, because I think even Bill has a point of being like, why aren't we going? And then he says, well, I think we should find out what's happening here. You kind of get like a sense of that. So maybe... maybe there is. It is weird that they're there in the first place because they weren't aiming for there.
Yeah.
So maybe there is a sense of like we're gonna build to something. Like maybe the big monster will come back. But
yeah. I mean, theoretically, it's lived for thousands of years. Is what they established.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's no reason to assume that it won't it won't be able to thrive in the oceans for another 200 years.
Yeah. So did I guess I can ask this later, but like they implied that it was chained in the Thames for like a long time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it freezes the Thames, so that's why it's frozen over was because of the monster.
Yes.
Because they said that this was the first time it had a solid freeze. So were there moments
in a long time?
In a long time. So, but because of the weather patterns, it must not get frozen in the spring. So it doesn't freeze in the spring. It's just hanging out at the bottom of the river in the spring.
I think you also have to have enough. It's probably a twofold thing where like it has to be cold enough in the air to sustain it, because the Thames is always going to be cold,
right?
But I think only in the winter, and having the winter plus whatever this monster is doing, is enough to actually freeze the Thames over.
Right.
To a point where like people can just like hang out and walk an elephant on it.
Yeah, walk an elephant on it. I'm surprised those fish didn't go after the elephant. I feel like the elephant would be a nice snack.
Nice hearty meal.
Yeah.
Though the elephant would never be alone, so that would be
that's
the issue.
True. I guess they have a problem with that. Yeah. I had we could talk about let's go through what happens in the actual show, because I loved just him running around at the actual fair and running around that time period and just seeing him talk about being a thief and him having fun kind of walking around. And I
want to see that trick again.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I felt like it was – you got to see a nice side of Bill, and you also got to see a nice side of Capaldi's Doctor, because I feel like we haven't had the chance – maybe I'm wrong here, but you don't often see Capaldi's Doctor having fun. Like I feel like there's –
he does and he doesn't. I mean like remember like he wrote a tank into a Viking like town playing an electric guitar. Like he does have fun.
Though that was like a sad thing where he was like having a midlife crisis.
Yeah, you that feel like you have midlife crisis moments.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've seen him try to figure out who this character is and who he is as the Doctor, mm-hmm. and having fun in that sense. But this one felt like it was him.
Yeah.
This felt like it was a solidly I got him. I got Capaldi's Doctor. Not that I haven't before, but I got him in a fun time place.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, because he has less baggage, I think, is the main thing. Like, up from the moment he was regenerated into Capaldi, he had all the baggage of everything that came before him, dealing with, like, Clara and things like that. But now, like, he's had some time to move on.
Yeah.
And he can be fun and make quips and really, like, enjoy himself the way that we're used to the Doctor doing.
Yeah. Right. The way that, like, the way that Smith enjoyed himself, had a good time with Tennant, did it too. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like, just even the most recent time we saw him in the 50th, like, when we see him, like, hanging out with, it was Catherine, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Queen.
The Queen, yeah.
Right.
No, Elizabeth.
Yeah,
Queen Elizabeth. Yeah. Like, he was just, like, hanging out. He's, like, frolicking with the Queen. Like, he's just, right. like, doing his thing.
Yeah.
And that's the Doctor, is just, like, having fun.
Yeah.
In addition, and then going to, like,
a dark place,
save people, and, like, do all these things along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was serious stuff that was brought up in this episode pretty early on that I like. Like, I love the race issue was brought up. I thought that was...
And it had to be addressed.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I thought it was nice that it was addressed, because I think often they could have not addressed it, and it would have been awkward, but it's I'm glad that they addressed it.
Yeah.
That she even had that was the first inclination. Like, previous episode, you guys were like, we were talking about what tribe travel would you turn to? And you guys were both like,
never the past. Yeah. But I also like the fact that they included that piece where she's like, you know, there's more color back in the day, and he's like, well, yeah, it's not represented that way in media, but that's really how it was.
Yeah, especially that interchange was awesome. It was, I think, between one of my favorite quotes. Yeah, they're like,
snooty dude.
It's a lot blacker than you would think. And then he said, so was Jesus. History is whitewashed. And I was like, boom! Dr. Woke! Dr. Woke!
Dr. Hashtag Dr. Woke.
Dr. Woke. And that was just like, that was an awesome moment. That made me like the whole episode no matter what. So it was, and also something that I appreciate in a Doctor Who episode is when an innocent dies, and I know that sounds awful, but it just shows that the show has some balls. It shows that it's not just like
a kid. It wasn't just an innocent, like, it was a like child.
It was the cutest kid. It was a
second cutest.
Hey, he was he stole the sonic screwdriver. I don't feel too bad for him.
Yeah,
I'm just saying he was a hey Mikey, he likes it kid. Like right. he's like the kid you would cast to sell any sort of item in like a commercial, because you're like, oh, adorable. And then he dies in a pretty horrific way. You see his like arm stuck out as he's drowning to death. It shows it had a lot of bite for an episode that was even kind of light of it. It didn't have whole families and generations dying like the previous episode.
It wasn't maybe Peter Capaldi's first Doctor Who episode where the entire city got murdered.
Yeah.
Pompeii.
But it was harsh enough that Bill had to be like, whoa, this is going to happen. This is going to happen sometimes. And she had to deal with that.
Yeah.
So,
and it's an interesting thing that, like, I feel like companions regularly have to, there always has to be that moment of like, you can't save everybody, and the doctor has seen plenty of death. And I thought that was a very interesting moment for them, when she's questioning him, like, have you killed someone? Have you seen people die? Have you killed anyone? And this is like, I'm curious how I would have loved almost to even see more to like know what's going on in the doctor's head as she asks him that, like, because there's two different like ways, like, the doctor has never like straight up murdered somebody.
Well,
here's the thing, like, he does it, he has let people die or killed bad guys when he is trying to protect someone. He was a soldier during the Time War. Like, he fought in a war. But it's never in cold blood, is what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, though he has gotten to dark places. Like, the episode where we meet Donna, where he kills all the spider people.
Right.
Like, mercilessly. Because he himself was in a dark place. Mm-hmm. So we have seen him do really messed up things.
Yeah. And we've also had, you got to remember in, I think it was the Day of the Doctor, because it was when all the three doctors were interacting with one another. You had I wrote this down because I read this in a review of this, is that the Day of the Doctor, the 10th Doctor is like condemns the 11th Doctor for forgetting the exact number of children who died during the fall of Gallifrey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, says basically saying you've moved on, and how horrible is that to move on. And we see that as kind of the point of this Doctor, is saying how it's needed to move on in order to save the next life. So I think there's two ways of looking at that, like always being, always knowing what the horror you've done in the past, but also being able to move past it so you can save the next. So you're not living in a world of regret. So it is an interesting discussion that I think he brings up, and I don't think he necessarily answers it. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe that's going to be what kind of comes back from this episode, is that question of, you know, whether you should move on and forget what you've done in the past or not. And I think it might be important to what's in the vault, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, and we're absolutely going to dig into our theories based on the new information of what's in the vault.
Yeah.
But let's finish talking about just, like, all the stuff that happened
in
Regency England. Because, like, they – I love the idea that, like, this fish poop is basically rocket fuel. It's, like, it's better than coal. It burns hotter, and you might even say it's clean coal, which is total shit.
Ha! Oh. I see what you did there.
That was weird because you accented the clean coal, so I'm like, is that the punchline? Is that? And then this shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the punchline, then the reversal.
Yeah, come on. It was a boom.
Comedy 101, bro.
I loved it. Yeah, it was great. I also love... There was kind of this nod towards the social implications of weather changing because of fuel and because of finding fuel, and it was changing in a different way because it was kind of manipulating it and becoming colder to get more fuel rather than warming up the planet like it's actually doing. It's kind of nodding at that. And also I love just Lord Sutcliffe and how much of a dick he is. And how human he is.
Yeah.
And they made that a point.
I feel like there was something, him being such a mustache twirly person.
It
like took away, because there was a kernel of, like, in what he was saying that people die trying to get coal. And so, like, him essentially harvesting this fuel keeps people from dying in the short run.
Right.
So, like, if he wasn't so evil, I felt like there could have been a counter to, or at least a validity to what he was saying.
Also, like, the first thing he says is, like, I'm incredibly racist. Hello. Right. So it makes it so he has to only be evil. But I think what they were trying to do in this episode, seeing as it's a kind of a reboot season.
Yeah.
We haven't had a villainous human yet. Because we had an evil spaceship oil, and then we had kind of evil mini-bots.
Right.
And now we have, like, and now we're meeting a human that's evil, and I think it's important for the Bill, for to show Bill that it's, like, the humans that are behind this, and it's not always going to be alien, like,
there are nefarious evil humans at work. Right.
Yeah, so, but that being said, I think if he maybe, yeah, if he used it in kind of a, hey, we kill 10 people now, it'll save 200 people later. If he kind of brought that back up rather than being like, I'm doing this so we can keep colonizing the world and taking over inferior races like you. And it's, mustache twirly. So I think that's true.
Yeah, the creature line, which is like, whoa, dude.
Yeah, it was rough. It was kind of hard to watch.
Yeah. But I like that, like, the Doctor sort of took all of this, like, all these ingredients to heart in his, like, solve for the problem.
Yeah.
Was, like, not just to defeat the bad guy or stop the torture, but to do it and also, like, save a couple, like, street kids.
Right. Mm-hmm. I also liked the Doctor saying, hey, don't blow your gasket. I'm going to have to talk so I can remain calm. And I could be the one to charm Lord Sutcliffe when he comes in, because he's probably going to be a terrible guy, but I can remain calm. And then he hits him immediately after he says something racist.
Yeah.
That was fun, but at the same time I was like, oh, kind of took that away from her, right? Like, I kind of wanted her to come back and...
When was punch the last time we saw that doctor punch some? Like,
it's very.
We've seen him like hit people. Like, I can't even remember ever seeing the doctor physically like punch somebody.
It was kind of out of nowhere. It was that, which made it even funnier.
Yeah,
because it just felt like, oh no, you're a racist. Go full Richard Spencer on that guy. So it was,
Yeah. Well, though, to your point, Dave, I feel like if it would have been Bill that hit the guy, it would have been, at least in this universe, like a confirmation that like black people are violent. So
true.
Like, having him do it kind of shows beyond being the punchline, but like shows that punchline. Other people, are willing to stick up for black people.
That's a good point. That makes me feel less like it was kind of man. Oh, I almost said man fisting. mansplaining through the fist. Still bad. Okay, moving on.
I did love the interaction with the doctor and the pie salesman.
Oh yeah.
Like
he just wanted to learn.
You're a cheat. I love your work.
Yeah. He just wanted to learn how to do the trick, and he loved being able to steal stuff, which felt kind of a Tom Baker-y to me for some reason. I feel like Tom Baker-y was always like, "Ooh, who are you?" and like kind of grabbing things every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he stole like 7 pies from that guy.
Yeah.
In his hat.
That was great.
I also love seeing the doctor return to wearing hats.
Yes.
Because I was a big fan of, like, Stetsons are cool.
So is his top hat going to be a thing?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
He did buy a top second hats. Top hat at some point.
But it was so he can hold all those pies.
Yeah.
I also like the reveal of, the fish that he's been getting to put into the pies were those angler kind of fish. But my one thing, maybe you guys noticed this. Because he said, these guys aren't carnivorous.
Yeah.
So they kind of live, they're doing this for the big creature underneath.
Mm-hmm.
But why? I wish we had a good explanation of why.
I thought they came from inside the big creature. Like when they first appeared, you see the creature open its mouth and you see all the lights go out.
Okay, so they're just kind of extensions of the creature.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I got the sense that it was a...
symbiotic.
Kind of.
They eat his leavings or something.
That might be it. Like they may not directly eat meat, but they may feed on
his the rocket fuel poop.
Yeah. I mean, that's what puts the glow in there.
Glow in the angles.
Uh huh.
Is the poop.
We also get a good. We also
by
get
the way,
a
Hashtag manfisting is in the chat now.
Great. This always happens. I always say the worst thing, and it becomes the hashtag. Great. I also like how we do get a kind of discussion about the butterfly effect and kind of things, how you can affect history, and if you can hurt yourself by history. And he has that confusing joke. Because it also was a nod of Pete, of the disappearing Pete. Because he said, this is your best friend who was just here. Now he's gone. And they're making a joke about, Pete and alternate reality, which they just talked about alternate realities. But Rose's dad's name was Pete. And so that was kind of a nod towards Pete. From Doctor's past.
Interesting.
Who was found in the episode Inferno, there was the alternate reality of Pete's world because it was the world that he was still alive in and successful. And they just talked about alternate realities like a second ago. And then now all of a sudden talking about Pete. And I found that fascinating because it felt like a thing that the Doctor sometimes does and kind of pops up is kind of mixing up his timelines, mixing up his companions and mixing up what's happening. So it was a joke, but it was also kind of a subconscious like nod towards the Rose era and Pete and being around and then being an alternate reality. It kind of felt... It felt real to me because it felt like kind of the blendings of the Doctors.
And it also, to me, I had caught, or it felt like a reference to when Rory literally disappeared from existence.
Right.
And that happened to Amy specifically, where he was just there and then she doesn't remember him.
Yeah. Yeah. So it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And also he said that he was eating that funky sausage. And he says, I like it because it's I've been here a lot. And there were points where I think he talked – I think I wrote down in one episode, a good man goes to war. River says that they went to the 1814 fair for her B-Day and were serenaded by Stevie Wonder. So that was another thing that kind of happened. So that was maybe why he's been there before.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, that's like...
I think that's just a little nod. But this was deep in like an Easter egg website I found that stuff. But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's relevant. Like the question of when something is so that explicit. Yeah. Like it's not like, oh, he went to an English fair in the 1800s.
Yeah.
It was, no, this year.
1814, yeah.
Yeah, like he knew this thing. So there, it's possible that like Matt Smith's doctor was there like a few days ago.
Yeah, just hanging out there. Yeah, it's. I feel like that could be a constant problem for him, making sure it's like, oh no, it's not this day. It's fine.
Well, the TARDIS keeps track.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. TARDIS is.
It's all in the data banks.
Yeah.
We also get one of the lines since we talked about the guy who was making pies and thieving that I liked was when he was talking to him and said, oh, do you not like tattoos? I don't like tattoos. I think we're bonding. I love that. I think we're bonding. It's just a great line.
Well, I feel like it that line happened just because he's trying to like charm him into getting his trick.
But not quite understanding what to do to charm. Yeah. It was good.
Yeah, he scored a low roll on charm.
Yeah, and it felt like this is one of those episodes where it feels like they're nodding a lot at the fact that the doctor is not human, so doesn't always communicate with humans perfectly well.
Yeah, and I like that the coin trick ultimately culminated in him getting Nardole to leave him alone.
Yes, yeah, and that was a nod at that was great. Also. Another nod towards like previous doctors in this episode are the street urchin names are Perry, Harry, and Dot, which could be short for Dorothy, which could also be Ace, and they're all companion names in some way or form. Not me. That was another website I found. But
I feel like at a certain point they've just run out of names.
Yeah, this just feels like this will be fun. But all three of them together were kind of all that was coincidental. I think it's kind of. They put little Easter eggs there for fans and also for, like, oh, this is why the Doctor trusts them so fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would dismiss it more if not for the picture of Susan in the opening episode because that was so clear that it feels like it's – there's no way that was just a sight gag.
Yeah.
Can't imagine that Moffat likes to plant Easter eggs, not just for Easter egg's sake, but for like drawing threads too much for that to have been a random choice.
Yeah, and that was just setting the tone, I think, for the season.
That plus the return of like those OG Cybermen coming up, like
still coming up.
It's relevant. Yeah. There's a reason. Yeah. However, it does remind me of when I latched hard onto the fact that there was a guy in England around this era I think it was a Matt Smith story named Alfie. And because we get Alfie, Alfie is Stormageddon, who I have advocated on many occasions to be a future companion.
What? I've never heard you say that
before. Hashtag we want Stormageddon. I got real excited. So it feels like that, where like we're still digging new. A little too hard.
If Adrian were here, she'd say, well, you know, Kitty could be an ancestor of Bill. So,
yeah,
I mean,
except Bill is a Time Lord, as she keeps saying.
She had relations with the Time Lord.
Right.
It's in her blood. You know, classic Adrian Fair.
Well,
yeah.
Either way, as long as we're getting into some crazy, weird theories.
These are regular thoughts.
These are just regular. Yeah. These are just dreams and wishes.
I said we're just getting into.
Okay.
Let's get deeper down that rabbit hole and talk about the, like, our, we'll do another check-in with the vault.
Yeah. Should we get into prediction mode or not?
I mean, I would just say this is general, like, it's general discussion about,
okay. So we don't know anything. This isn't necessarily spoilers. So yeah, this is just
this us just our theories. What? The chat. Sorry, I saw in the chat they're like really Zach again, like with the Stormageddon stuff.
Yeah,
well, like
see,
not
that's what you
Jamie
get.
Perez, like not this again, Zach. Hey, it'll be when it happens. It's gonna be great.
No, come on, guys. This is the first time he's ever mentioned it. Guys, come on.
Sure.
This is the first time Dave's hearing it.
I've never heard it before,
and,
so I'm interested.
And yeah. Michelle says, I'm lost. How is Bill a Time Lord? It's just a theory.
Bill is not a Time Lord.
It's just a weird theory that was brought up.
It's a theory. It's not real.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about – so there's Bill's Nox, and the chat is already on the same page as like – because we were discussing right before we went
on
air.
Yeah, I mean because –
that like the knocking
– when you knock on this show
– on Doctor Who.
It feels like the answer becomes obvious. It feels like it's the master.
But it's one shy. It's like it's
So it's almost too obvious.
Yeah.
So, it might be kind of trying to hint that it could be the master, and it turns out not to be.
Nah, I remove like the at least that from evidence of the master because it just like
but the, that's what everyone's thinking. Right. Like that's what the whole chat's thinking.
And
right?
I think it's an intentional diversion.
That's what I'm saying. It might be too obvious.
Yeah.
That they're doing it this way, so everyone's like, "Oh, definitely the master in there. Yeah. It's gonna be the master. You just wait and see." And then it's gonna be something different.
Yeah.
Like Stormageddon or something.
Guys, based on the knock pattern, mm-hmm. I know definitively that it's Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory. Ugh. If you were on the other side of the door, ugh, it would have been dun 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 Nardal. Dun 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 Nardal. Dun dun dun.
Oh god.
Nardal.
So somebody's knocking, trying to get out.
If that door opens and says "Bazinga," I'm throwing my TV out the window. That's it.
Yeah,
I'm done with the TV.
I will.
Done with it.
I will quit this show.
That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
I would love it because it confirms that Sheldon Cooper is an alien.
Well, yeah.
And two, it's a good bit. It's a real good bit.
Good bit.
Good.
All right. Bojo Pigeon in the chat asks, if the master is in there,
yeah,
when does/did he regenerate? This is the theory that we discussed last week, that it's the John Sim master, not Missy, but this would be pre-Missy master that's locked
pre-Missy.
In there. Because in David Tennant's Farewell episode,
mm-hmm,
the master got locked in with Gallifrey via that whole crazy thing that I'm not even going to try to explain.
Right.
Go watch the episode or read somebody else's explanation. But the master, in theory, was locked in the time locked Gallifrey.
Right.
But wasn't the Gallifrey released because they just had that Gallifrey?
It's
episode?
Sort of unclear. We've now visited. Gallifrey that has returned.
Yeah.
But the Doctor can't – they're not – Time Lords aren't just out there. So I think they're still semi-time locked, which – so the obvious theory, at least to me, is that that's what's in the vault is Gallifrey.
Right.
Because there are Gallifrey and symbols on it. I think they're still trying to figure out where to put Gallifrey's at the end of the universe right now.
Right. Yeah, I remember at one point they couldn't find Gallifrey. They found Gallifrey, right?
Yeah, he knew it was out there. He found it last year.
Right, mm-hmm, right.
And it's like sitting at the end of the universe,
mm-hmm,
or the edge of the universe. Or the end of time. It's that vague Doctor Who thing that sort of exists.
Mm-hmm.
But this could be the door to whatever that is.
Do you think that they would do another, like, Gallifrey reveal like, because we've technically had two of them. The first one being the giant crack on the, in the town called Christmas, and then we had the one at the end of last season. So I feel like story wise, we can't have another mystery that's resolution is Gallifrey. Guys, it's Gallifrey.
That's fair. That's a good point.
Yeah. So if it's not Gallifrey, a whole bunch of Daleks, like it's or the Master. What else could it be? So, because I feel like the Daleks could be coming back with it. Maybe it's like
Cybermen
all the Daleks.
Cybermen are more or less just out there.
Yeah.
Doing their thing.
Because the Daleks are kind of like, they're squirreled away somewhere too, right?
They're, like, I think they're out there.
Right.
I mean, the Daleks are, again, similarly nebulous in terms
of,
like,
I always kind
of
forget
do
where
they
exist,
are. Do they not? They show up as needed for story purposes.
It doesn't feel like that would be a reveal since we saw a Dalek quickly in that pilot episode of this season.
He knew where to go, and that was him going to a specific point in time.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, that's a good point. Like, the Daleks are out there, so it can't be that all the Daleks are locked. We've also done that.
Also, keep in mind
in
from
Modern Who,
all the hints from that episode where he was afraid whatever the pilot ship was, it wanted what was in the vault. So there might be things going after what's ever in the vault.
That's true. That's
because right now they've shifted it and, like, oh, something's trying to come out of the vault. But at the same time, there are people trying to find the vault as well. Mm-hmm.
Like, people are asking in the chat, like, is it just something new?
Yeah.
Like, is all of our theories for naught that, it, like, whatever's in there is just unknown to us?
I think whatever's in there, I wouldn't be surprised if that's going to be something to do with his regeneration process from this moment forward. Because they have said, I think, that his regeneration since 13 is technically the last one, but that's kind of screwy, but that it's going to be a different type of regeneration, whatever the next one is. And I feel like the vault has something to do with that, and I don't quite know what, so maybe it's...
The next regeneration would be different? Because this is already a new set.
Yeah, you're right, because 13 is the last one, right? So he's
12. Well, he's technically the first of the new wave because of the War Doctor and that they've established now that Tennant technically used up a second one.
I think I can't say this for sure because I think this – I forget what article it was in, but I think Moffat has said that whatever generation comes next is going to be a different type of regeneration because it's like in this new set or something. They're going to mess it up somehow. Like,
Capaldi is for that may be the truth, but Capaldi is the first of the new set,
right?
Because Matt Smith, they had to give him Matt Smith's Doctor a new set.
Sure, okay.
In the Christmas,
okay, that could events. Just have been him hinting at the fact that maybe it's like not going to be another white guy or something. Yeah. Right. So who knows?
Which seems inevitable.
It'll be a cat person.
Yeah, it could be a cat person. Could be a cat. Let's have it be a cat. What if Doctor Who was just a cat for a whole season?
That would be great. We've established that there is a cat person race.
Dr. Mew.
The chat thinks that it could... a lot of people in the chat are suggesting Rassilon, or at least one person is saying Rassilon, which is an older Who character... who's one of the founders of Time Lord Civilization. I'm not super familiar with this character.
Yeah, but that sounds like a Moffat move. It sounds like he would be like, Razzala! And then would be like, oh!
Oh my gosh, I
totally knew what that was and did it Wikipedia it just now so that I understood what the chat was talking about.
But there will be a lot of fans that will know who that is. It's just,
I mean,
There's the Valyard, but like that's sort of been,
it's been done.
Dealt with to a point at this. Like,
I don't know. I feel like it could be. It's either going to be the Master or something new that we don't know.
Yeah,
I think
I don't think it will be Gallifrey. I think you're right. I think that's if it is, it's going to feel a little disappointing.
Yeah,
but why would somebody be? Why would the Doctor be worried somebody is coming for the Master?
That's maybe it could be because if it's. If it's one form of the Master in there, or if it's, say, it's like, this doesn't make sense, I know this doesn't make sense, but if it's the key to the Master's regenerations, like his next regenerations or her next regenerations. So maybe if it's one form of the Master in there, maybe Missy could be trying to find whatever's in the vault. Hmm. But like you said, I think in the last episode, or one of us said, is Missy could possibly get to the vault because she is the Doctor's oldest friend.
Mm-hmm.
So she at least can walk up to it.
Yeah.
Because
it's set to friends of the Doctor. Yeah. So
the room that the vault is within has friends.
Yes.
Only.
So that wouldn't hold her back, we think.
Yes.
Correct.
So
I think that holds up, and I think that that's also an interesting twist that,
yeah,
like while we're gonna see it coming a little bit because we're overanalyzing every moment that this show has,
yeah, oh yeah,
as Whovians are prone to do,
yeah,
it would to most audience I think be enough of a surprise,
yeah.
I hope that we find out that Nardole is like full of weapons. That's kind of
he has to like at some
becomes
point
a giant robot.
Yeah, at some point, he has to, like, reveal a tool, some kind of tool within, like, yeah, he's a robot except for his head.
So he's a cyborg, right, technically.
Cyborg. Yeah. He's a cyborg.
So. Speaking of cyborgs, I have a alternate theory.
Yeah.
In that, since we do have the whole thing about the original Cybermen, and correct me if I'm wrong, chat, but I remember the Tomb of the Cybermen episode having that style of Cybermen. So this vault could be the either a lock or an opening to this Tomb of the Cybermen. So it could be about the time when they are supposed to awaken. And so that's why he's guarding it.
Hmm. True. Could be.
It is like it's easy to forget, like the Cybermen that we've battled in Modern Who don't come from this universe. They came from the alternate reality that we went to with Mickey. Right.
Yeah.
With Mickey and Rose. The like those old school Cybermen, those are the ones from our like reality, which was a whole like second Earth situation, and they were trying to like replace us.
Right.
It's a whole
okay
to do.
It's a whole
wibbly wobbly. So it is possible that that's what he's hiding there.
Okay.
Maybe.
But why would someone be after that?
Maybe he's protecting
weapons, bro.
Weapons, bro.
Yeah.
Maybe he's protecting an earlier version of himself. We could go on and on all day about this.
Very true.
Why don't we move into some official predictions so we can talk about next week's episode as well.
Yeah. Great.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
What happened in the preview?
So I saw the preview just now, and it was. I saw it very quickly and with the sound down because it was in our crowded studio, so I didn't want to bother all the other after buzzers.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get to look up anything, but that actor looks like he's so like a former Master or like a former Doctor Who.
You're talking about David Suchet?
Is that the older guy in the preview? In the preview for next week?
Yeah.
He just looks like so hardcore old British actor guy. It looks like it's going to be Haunted House episode.
Cool.
Which I always love the Haunted House episodes. I love the ones where it's kind of spooky doings happening and they're trying to figure out what the spooky doings are. So that's one of my favorite stuff. It looks like, even though you saw just a hint of it, but in a previous future episodes on, it looks like we get some cool wood monsters that I'm kind of excited about that come out of like the house.
Neat.
So that looks really neat. But I'm curious about this one actor because he looks like he's the type of guy that is going to turn out to be the Master. He has that feeling to him.
Like the one that was at the end of the universe?
Yes, like that guy, like Caligula. That guy is like he has that feeling to him, even the little clips I saw. So I don't think he's necessarily going to be the Master because I feel like it's kind of pulling an old hat trick, but like
yeah, and we and like look, if we've already got two,
yeah,
do like and like I don't think that Missy is going anywhere because she's too much fun to watch,
yeah.
I think that like you need somebody to carry over, I do, like into the new showrunners like stuff, and like even if it's not, I don't want it to be the Doctor or the Companion. I like that being a fresh slate, but it would be fun to see Missy play with a new set.
Yeah, maybe. Also, I feel like they could use Missy better. I think that she had some great setups, but no payoffs that really felt satisfying.
But I think it's interesting that we're going to do another horror. We're going to do a horror episode. This is like sort of continuing. Like it's Moffat's final tour. He's like, all right, so we did the new Companion episode. We did the base under siege. We did a monster that's also like a big social commentary.
We did the sad fuel whale episode that we always have to do every couple of seasons as a sad whale.
Sad large sea creature.
That speaks like a whale.
Yep.
And you either, if you free it, it could destroy people's lives, or you could let it, like, or you could kill it. And keep humans going. Just sounded very familiar.
Yeah.
But, you know. It was, so it does feel like it kind of has that. And I think where Moffat really shines are in the horror episodes.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, as the guy who created the Weeping Angels, or at least wrote their first episode, it will be very interesting.
Also,
to
the
see.
Silence are great, like, horror creatures.
The Silence are amazing horror creatures. Yeah. The idea that you forget.
And even that one, I forget the name of the episode, but the Gas Mask Kids.
Moffat,
and that's like, this is, so I'm excited for a horror episode, which should be next week, so.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any final theories as we wrap out?
I don't know, I'm, when it comes to that, I think maybe the Master, but who knows?
Yeah. I think the whale fish is going to come back and save the Doctor and the Companion, give them a thumbs up, and then swim away.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, next week's episode is called Knock Knock.
True.
And we ended this week's with knocking.
So?
It's a knock-themed. Yep. Next thing you know, Walter White's at the door.
Knocking boots.
Ooh.
Knockers. Well, he's the one that knocks. What am I supposed to think?
Great.
All right, so Sheldon Cooper and Walter White hanging out.
The ultimate knockers.
They're playing us out, kids. They're playing us out.
Yep. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us at AfterBuzz TV for the Doctor Who After Show. I've been your host, Zach Wilson. Keep the conversation going with us on YouTube, on Twitter. You can tweet me all your theories about what's in the vault at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. And stick around in just a few minutes. I'm going to be talking about The Leftovers with our After Show crew. Tonight's episode was bonkers in all kinds of ways that, like, I just come help us process it.
Great. You can also find me at mrdavechild or davechild.com. And in 2 hours, I'll be at AfterBuzz talking about American Gods. Ooh. So I'm about to watch that right now, and hopefully it will also be bonkers.
Nice. And you can find me at Tari J. That's TariJay. And you and I can talk about the ultimate knockers together. Also, you can find me here on AfterBuzz TV on the DCCW ABTV slate. It is at Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow here on AfterBuzz TV.
All right, thank you to everyone who joined us in the chat. Thank you to everyone who's joining us later. We have been the Doctor Who After Show, and thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other After Shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
Knock, knock, knock.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.